Betty. You know, the purpose of Alateen is very similar to that of AA and Al-Anon, to help people with a problem. Just recently, I read a story that I'd like to share with you. I don't have it here to read to you. I just want to tell it to you in my own words. There was a young man he wrote this when he was about 22 years old. And he had struggled all through his childhood, and his parents one of his parents were an alcoholic, and the other was suffering from the sickness that all Al-Anons go through. He was terribly confused, and he knew nothing about himself, and he had no understanding at home, because his parents were so involved and so wrapped up in their own sickness and their own problems. And this boy, just like all of us, went through such a state of confusion and so much hurt that he could not find himself. And so he developed many personality defects and problems himself. He didn't know what to do, and he really didn't have anywhere to turn. And when he got into high school or on up and became a teenager, some of his so-called friends said, "Well, I know just the thing. Try this alcohol that you hate, that your father deals with." He says, "Try it. It makes you forget everything." And he thought, "Oh, this is just the answer. I need to forget." And he tried it. This same friend said, "Try these drugs. They help you to find yourself. And they'll show you things about yourself that you could never find any other way." And he tried these also. They destroyed his mind. He had no control over his thoughts and actions. And he became so terribly sick. And he wrote this story of his life. And he said, "Why isn't there a program that can show teenagers what alcohol and drugs will do? Why isn't there a program?" And he said, "Oh God, if only I could have found something." He went out and drenched his body in gasoline and lit a match. What if he'd had Alateens? What if I had known this boy and could have shared with him what I have? Thank God for Alateens. And thank God we have one here with us today to share her experience, strength, and hope with you. I wish I knew her better and could give her a long spiel, but I'm sure that I know her because she's an Alateen. So I give you Sheila M. from Alcoa, Tennessee.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Marcia, for your most gracious and warming introduction. I would also like to thank Mr. Ross and Mr. Price and all of the committee members who have allowed me the great privilege and honor of being here with you today. I love to attend AA conventions and Alateen meetings, and I wouldn't want to be any place in the world right now, except maybe out in the audience with you listening to someone else talk. My name is Sheila Moore, and I am the daughter of an alcoholic and a member of the Alateen group in Alcoa, Tennessee. Although my experience in Alateen has been for a relatively short time, I feel as though I've been living the program since my father entered AA almost 5 years ago. I shall begin my story by relating to you how alcoholism became a family disease in my home. Of course, my father's drinking caused a friction in our home life. It would upset my mother very much, and of course there was fusses and turmoil. And my brother, sister, and myself would fight back, would hit back at this problem by fighting among ourselves. Of course, you can see a vicious cycle is occurring because this would aggravate the problem even further. Mother and Dad would fight, we would fight, and that would make them mad, and so everything was just topsy-turvy all the time. My father's drinking became an outlet for me to blame my own failures on. For instance, if I failed to get my homework, or if I failed a test, or forgot to do something that I should have done, I said, well, it's Dad's drinking the night before. It's not my fault. Of course, this is where Alateen could have helped me. Because in Alateen, you learn emotional detachment, where you can love your parents, but you learn to live and let live. And this is what I didn't know how to do. I didn't know how to cope with my problems. Even when I was hampered by this problem, I didn't know how to handle it. But with Alateen today, I feel like I have accomplished a lot because I can meet this emotional detachment in my life more freely than before. This alcoholism, my father's drinking, caused for me a great personal fear. Because my family was and still is a very, very important part of my life. And with my father's drinking, I felt like my family life was threatened. My family was the only thing I had to cling to. But it was also the most unpredictable part of my life. I never knew when things were going to be, you know, all right. But I had a source of comfort. I had my brother and my sister, and we could talk about this problem, and they would come to my room at night, and we would talk for hours about our problem, but we always ended up with the same question, which is why? Why does Dad do this? We didn't know the answer. I was fortunate in yet another way. From the time I could write, I relieved my frustrations through poetry. I kept these writings, and I have one for you now that I shall read for you. It is simply entitled Nothing, because that's the way I felt at the time I wrote this. Was there ever a day I know I felt at one time bright and gay? Yet today, nothing. Today, sadness and tears, indifference and fears, hurt and regretfully here. Why, somewhere a bird calls, and a little boy answers gleefully with mimicking cry. He listens, looks hopefully at the sky, and once again perceives his friend with musical delight. Yet nothing, I feel no warmth at this sight, only sadness and tears, indifference and fears, hurt and wishing, sighing, hating, because I am here. At the end of such a poem, I felt hopeful. This is the way in which I could cleanse all the doubts and fears and impurities of mind from my soul. Of course, this poem is an example of a work of a distressed person. It shows clearly the despair I had with my father's drinking. And many times when I wrote these poems, I would hide them from my parents because I didn't want them to know how I felt. I felt as if I can be happy, well then, if I can make them think I'm happy, well then everything will be all right. I'd like to bring out at this time that I had no real resentment against my father. I resented and even hated alcohol, and I would blame such officials as policemen, etc., for even allowing it to be illegal. I thought, well, why don't they just throw this stuff away? I just hated it, but I didn't hate my father. It was the only life I had ever known, and I became accustomed to it as a child. At first, I didn't think my life was any different. My father was always loving and kind and understanding to me, sober or drinking, and I thought nothing was amiss, that he just enjoyed drinking. This problem was intensified only when my mother and my father came to terms. I could understand my mother's frustrations, but I didn't ever want to hear her say anything bad about my father. This was mainly a way of avoiding the problem. I didn't want to hear what she said because I wanted to think of my father as being perfect, and I didn't want to hear any criticism. One incident I can remember was one Saturday morning after a Friday night's drunk. My father offered to take my brother and my sister and my mother and myself to a tourist attraction in Tennessee known as Rebel Railroad. And Mom said, no, we're not going. We're through with this life. We're just tired of you drinking. We're tired of the fussing and everything. And we just don't want to go. And I thought, Mother, you're being so unreasonable. I couldn't believe it. Here we were offered a good time, and she didn't want to go. I mean, I couldn't understand it. I can understand it now. But then I thought, well, get the good times when you can. Enjoy life. Try to get something out of it, you know. But that wasn't the way it turned out that day. My real unhappiness began when I entered school. I came in contact with children whose lives were different from my own. I felt everyone else had a storybook life, that their mother and dads were just perfect. They lived in a beautiful little house in the meadow with flowers all around, and everybody lived happily ever after. I didn't have this kind of life, and my personality, of course, was affected because of it. I began to feel a loneliness that grew greater and blacker and deeper with each and every year because I was different and my life was different. I became withdrawn because of this, and I felt that my playmates didn't want me around. I would go out on the playground and they would ask me to join in with the games, and I'd say, oh no, well, not right now, because I thought, well, they don't want me to play. I mean, they're just being nice, and I couldn't stand people to be nice. And after a while, of course, they stopped asking me to play, and so my loneliness continued. I could walk in a schoolroom and hear a giggle somewhere in a corner, and I'd think, well, they're giggling about me. And even to raise my hand or to answer a question took a great deal of courage, because then people would look at me and I could feel their thoughts and what they were thinking. And this hurt me more than anything in the world, because I didn't want them to think anything bad about my family, because, you know, this is my family. I love them. I couldn't stand it. This self-consciousness followed me everywhere, and I became enveloped in a shield of self-reproach and loneliness. Eventually, I began to cover up my father's drinking by lying to myself and to others. I would say to myself, Daddy drinks because he's sick. He's got a flu or a cold or something. He has to do it. Or I could say, well, Daddy drinks because he worries. He worries about my family and about the problems we have, and that's why he drinks. And then I'd say, well, it doesn't matter if he drinks. There's nothing to matter with it, but I couldn't convince myself. And I lied to others. I can remember one incident in which a girlfriend dropped by to play with me. And she came in and saw my dad drinking a glass of beer, and I heard Lee said, Dad, may I go play at so-and-so's house? And he agreed. And as we bicycled over to her house, I said, you know that yellow stuff my dad was drinking? Well, that's Seago. He's on a diet. So we got into a long discussion of diet foods. I didn't think she believed me, but it made me feel better. As time passed by, my world became more bleak. I reached a hopeless resolve I knew life wouldn't get any better. There was a span of time in which my dad stayed sober for about 6 months, and it was like paradise. It was really wonderful. But I had this feeling it was going to end. And one day, of course, it did end, and he got drunk again. But that day, my brother and I were talking together, and we both said simultaneously, "Dad's going to get drunk today." We knew it. There was no reason why we should know it. But because he did get drunk, it confirmed my suspicions. It just made my convictions even stronger that he was never going to get any better, that he'd never stop drinking. I was cynical about life. Sometimes I felt that God was punishing me, and that was really a form of self-pity, I guess. I was a little bit presumptuous to think that God would spend his time trying to make a martyr out of me, but we all fall into these kind of feelings sometimes. Upon reflection of those years, I now realize that I never really felt young, that I could see other kids playing games, but I didn't know why they were laughing. I guess that there was always this problem in the back of my mind, Dad's drinking. And I felt it was only a matter of time before my family would break up and go into all kinds of directions, and here comes this great fear again. You know, you can't get away from it. And at the end of the school day when I came home, I felt exhausted, mentally and physically exhausted, and exhausted in spirit. Because I didn't want to face what I would have to, but of course we all go on. I always appreciated the times of merriment and companionship that we had together. I am a person of extremes. I'm either in the depths of depression or full of the joys of living. It took very little to give me a hope for life, because if I heard a joke and my family laughed, or someone smiled, or if there was a little bit of merriment inside my home, well, then I was happy too. Because if I felt like they had hope, or if they could laugh, then I could laugh. And that's what I lived for, to find some peace of mind and happiness within my home. As you can see, because my moods reflected the trials of my family and their joys, I had an endless capacity for hope. During this time, I learned a very important lesson. That is, through the sorrows of living, I learned the true meaning of love and happiness. I grew more aware of other people's problems. It's very sad to see how some children at school, because of appearance or a stutter, are made outcast. And I felt that I was an outcast. I was different. But these people were my friends because I understood their problem. My love for my father was not a selfish love. In other words, I didn't expect him to stop drinking because I loved him. And today I'm grateful that my father was an alcoholic, because I gained a greater understanding of love and humanity because of it. I know I'm a better person, for just as a smooth sea never made a skillful mariner, neither does uninterrupted prosperity make a man qualified for success and happiness in life. And this is the way I felt the situation applied to me. But my new perception of love and man did not occur overnight. It was through God that I learned my new wisdom. And he entered my life in two ways. The first way he entered my life was through prayer. And I followed my mother's example in prayer. She would pray many times at life for my father and for my family. And I could see that she got relief, that she had hope because of it. And so I began to pray. At first, I used the Lord's Prayer. Every night when I went to bed, I said each word slowly of the Lord's Prayer, turning it in my mind, trying to understand it completely, because I thought, now, if I understand what this means, then I can talk to God. And finally, I did communicate with him. And this was my link with sanity for many years, because with God, I could share my problems. I didn't have Alateen. I did not know how to give my problems up to Him, but I could share them, and this helped to relieve this burden that I had. My father probably regretted my religious enthusiasm at times, because I would get down the Bible or the prayer book and look up all kinds of verses that say how you should be sober and everything. We would sit and argue for a long time. And when that wouldn't work, I'd go and pour out his whiskey and his beer, but I was determined he wasn't going to drink. But these little escapades didn't happen very often because my dad didn't believe in sparing the rod, and he taught me how to be a very proper child when it came to not pouring out his beer and everything. My new perception of love in accordance with my father was revealed to me through a spiritual experience which I had a few years before my father entered AA. It is one that I have learned very much from, and one that I shall continue to learn from. There were moments when I felt that God had shut the door on me, that he did not heed my prayers anymore. But on that summer's night, he must have opened a window, because he allowed me to experience the essence of his love. On that night, my father tried to kill himself. And thank God he didn't succeed. I know now that my father was in a state of complete despair, and he no longer felt useful to my family or to his community or to anyone. And he felt that by destroying himself, he could alleviate the unhappiness that he was causing us. Often when I wanted to think, I would walk in the yard and stand alone and think by myself. And that's what I was doing this night. And I heard a shot ring out, and I knew at that instant that it was my father. It was my father that shot was meant for. Some way or the other, I fell to the ground, and I felt as if my whole body were a mass of jelly, that it didn't have any substance. And all this while, I was experiencing such a great fear. A fear for my father is something I cannot explain. Yet also at this time, my being felt as if it were infinite in the limitations of time and space. I could see myself. I could see my father. I could see our family problem and the situation. And I realized that no matter how much drinking went on, no matter how much fussing or turmoil that we had, that I loved him. And I love my family. No greater gift could have been given to me from God than this realization. The impact of this experience gave me for many years a patience which I would not have had otherwise. And I know that it was only through God's grace and intervention that my father is here today. Then a glorious thing happened. My father found AA. Even though I was firmly convinced before he found this program that he'd never stop drinking, I knew when he found AA that he had found sobriety at last. He was different in the very way he looked, in the way he talked. He could smile, and he found opportunities in life to find happiness again. My father wanted to make everything up to me, of course, and to our family. But it's difficult to make one completely understand that everything you ever hoped and prayed for was for his well-being and for him to be free of the binds of alcohol. Yet that is human, and it is hard, certainly, to rid himself of all the regrets that I know he must have. My mother, throughout my father's drinking, had been a comfort and a very dear friend to me. She didn't let me down now. She explained to me what alcohol meant to my father and how he could only overcome this problem with the love and understanding of our whole family. The world, of course, did not at once become rosy when my father entered AA like I thought it would. There were still problems, as there still are problems to overcome. The first few weeks when my father was sobering up were the very hardest for me because I could then see the extreme anxiety and the physical agony that he was going through during this time. But I feel that his efforts have been rewarded many times through the family life that we have today. I remember when my dad brought home a plaque with the Serenity Prayer on it home, and I sat down that night and read it for the first time, and I thought that it must have been the most beautiful prayer that God ever inspired man to write, because it applied to me and to my home, and I understood what it meant. I have also been fortunate enough to see how this plaque can work in restoring a calmness to an AA. Although my father didn't say anything to me, I could see one night that he was going through extreme torment and agony for the desire of alcohol. He looked up at this plaque and read it softly to himself. And I could see the miracle of God working through AA on his face, because he was restored to my family again in calmness and tranquility. And he was made normal. And this is what AA is doing for us, Alateens. It's helping to make our parents normal again, to show them how to live. And this in itself, in a most thrilling manner, exemplified to me the power of God through AA. The first weeks were ones of discovery. My mother brought home Alateen material, and I began to feel as if I weren't quite alone anymore. There were other teenagers who shared my problem. AA was a blessing in yet another way. Before, I loved and forgave. But now, I understood. I understood that there was nothing to be forgiven, that my daddy was sick, but that he could become well again. This meant that he didn't drink because he didn't love me or because he didn't care how I felt. It meant he drank because he couldn't help it. And this dispelled all the doubts and fears that I had in my mind for many, many years. And it was a great release and comfort to me when I found out why he drank. Alateen became another phase in my AA life recently. I had tried to live the program since my father entered it and found sobriety. This summer I was looking for something more. I wanted to get involved. I wanted to share with other teenagers this great thing that was happening in my home. A wonderful and inspiring Al-Anon, Mrs. Marceline White from Texas, was a guest speaker at the Maryville anniversary in Blount County this summer. And she talked to me about the benefits of Al-Anon. Consequently, by the time the anniversary ended, this thought had grown in momentum and the Blount County Al-Anon group was officially established. Mrs. White certainly did not exaggerate when she said that Al-Anon could help you cope with many of life's problems, not only those that deal with alcohol in your home. Live and let live. Let go and let God. Easy does it. First things first. Think, one day at a time. Listen and learn. These mottos help me every day to become a better person and to establish a more tranquil and inner peace. At first, I wanted to establish Al-Anon groups so that other teenagers could have what I had in my home life and that they could experience how wonderful this AA program really is. Yet Al-Anon offered me even more. I felt that since my father had been in AA 5 years that I had become emotionally stable and that it couldn't offer me any more than I had already gained from the program. But I found at last the true meaning of AA and Al-Anon fellowship, a fellowship that is very strong and a love that binds everyone through mutual experience. This is a great accomplishment for one who was a loner for such a long time. The idea of daily inventory has also been very useful to me. It reminds me to be thankful every day for my father's sobriety. It enables me also to see how I can be a better Al-Anon and a better daughter. I would like to tell you now of two of the greatest Al-Anons that I know, my brother Bill and my sister Charlotte. We're working together and we're learning and we're trying to apply the Al-Anon principles in our home life. We offer each other plenty of constructive criticism, but criticism never hurt anyone. It takes a lot of love for them to really work this program, and I love them for it more and more each day. It would seem, after 12 years of living with an alcoholic father and 5 years of living with an AA father, that I would know what it meant when he said, "I am an alcoholic." But it was only until recently that I understood the true meaning of this statement. I accompanied my father to an out-of-town meeting this fall where he was a guest speaker. And when he introduced himself as an alcoholic, I realized for the very first time what he meant when he said that statement. I was overwhelmed with a feeling of sadness for my father because I realized at last what a tremendous affliction this is. In the preceding years, I had lied to myself and to others, and even while my father was an AA and I was an Al-Anon, I continued to lie because I wanted my father to be perfect. I portrayed him as being perfect. That's the way I wanted him to be, but he's not perfect. He's a human being with faults like all the rest of us. Al-Anon helped me to achieve this understanding, which wasn't a particularly pleasant one for me, but one that I am grateful for, because the better I understand my dad, the more I can be a help to him with his problem. If I may leave you with one thought, it would be to remember the past and to learn from it, but to live today. We are so fortunate that Alateens has equipped us to adjust to both the trying tribulations and the joys of life. So we must see in life all that is beautiful and live life to the fullest. When looking upon a flower, we should see God's glory, just as when we see a newfound AA, we should see His infinite mercy. I pray that each of you, my fellow Alateen and AA, and myself, through working our inspired program, may achieve a more stable life and a tranquil peace and a strength for tomorrow. If I might, allow me to use a closing wish of my father's, that the peace that passes all understanding may walk between me and thee until we meet again. I love all of you. God bless and take care of all of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sheila. I don't know how you feel, but I know I feel very full and very, very grateful. I was told that if there was time, I could have a little time to take a few people's inventory. So since my dad's not here, I guess I could start with him. My father is going on 10 years of sobriety. We were in Alabama last weekend, and I told him that he was no longer a practicing alcoholic. And you know, there's a saying, practice makes perfect. And alcoholics like to say they're perfectionists. Well, then my father was a perfect alcoholic because he practiced a long time. You know, when I think about Alateens, it's been quite a while since I've been really active as far as going to a meeting every week. But if things keep up, it looks like I'm going to be able to start doing that. I hope, I've just made a move to Atlanta, and I hope I can visit the Alateens there. I love Alateens. I don't care where it is, even in Tennessee now. The experiences that we go through show to me more and more that children are so affected by this problem. And I guess this is sort of my pet peeve. I've heard so many people say, my children weren't affected. I'm sorry you were, but my children weren't affected. This just kills me. To think that a child can live in a house where they're screaming, yelling, hollering, or whatever. Maybe that wasn't somebody else's bag. Maybe they didn't scream. But I'm sure they had other problems. This was the problem in our home. She talked about turmoil. She should come visit our house. We had it. I wouldn't trade it, though. Because it all led to this. You know, I don't know what it is about little girls and their fathers, but it seems they just have this ability to love their fathers no matter what. I was the same way. I loved my dad blindly. He could do absolutely nothing wrong. And for a drunk, that's pretty hard. I mean, you know, he was pretty talented. He didn't do anything wrong as far as I could see, except stay away from home too much, but that was my mother's fault, so I understood. The way I saw it, she kicked him out of the house every afternoon. He'd barely gotten in from work, and out he went again. This is the way my life went. And it got so bad, I could go 3 and 4 weeks and never see my father. And this hurt me because I loved this man. My sister was the exact opposite. Her angel was my mother. How she got that, I couldn't figure out for anything in the world. She felt so sorry for this woman who had to deal with this alcoholic man and this drunk and this no good bum, you know. She felt so sorry for him. She says, "Mom, I understand, you know. I hate him too." And she did. Or so we thought until we found Alateens. She told him one night, "You come back, and I'm leaving." She was 13 years old, and to feel that strongly against somebody, that you'd rather leave home than have to stay around him. Don't tell me we aren't affected. God gave me a protective measure. I could hide things from my parents. I guess I even hid many things from myself. I could run around and act happy and act cheerful when on the inside I was dying. I wanted so badly to share my problem with somebody. And then one day, in the fourth grade, I had this teacher who told me, she says, "Now, if any of you kids have problems that you'd like to talk over with somebody, come talk to me. I'll help you. I'll understand." And I thought, you know, maybe this is what I need, to talk to somebody. I've never talked about it. I knew there was something wrong with me, and there was something wrong with my family, and we were different. People just don't act like that. So I decided, it took an awful lot of courage, but I decided to talk to her. And I even gave up recess and talked to her during recess. And I told her just how unhappy I was and why. And she looked at me and she said, "Your daddy is no good and he's a drunk. Don't waste time worrying about him." What I mean by a problem, I mean with yourself. If you have trouble studying, I couldn't believe this. I didn't say another word about his drinking until I found Alateens. And that was quite a while later. So I was terribly confused and hurt. I have to tell you this. I really don't like talking to this group of people because there are too many that know my story better than I do. There are too many of you who could get up and tell it for me. And I hope I don't bore you. But I bargained with my God as I understood him as a child. The only way I knew how. I went to Sunday school, and I knew the object of Sunday school was to get you to be good. So I thought, "Well, God, if you'll make him quit drinking, I'll be good. I won't do anything wrong, God, if you'll just let him stop drinking." And it didn't work. And I said, "God, if you'll let him stop drinking, he'll be good. Anything. He'll be good then, because it's his drinking that makes him do these things." God doesn't operate that way. But I tried hard. And I thought, "God, something has got to change." I saw my mother. She was a nervous wreck. the hysterical screaming, I know she couldn't help it now. But when I look at it now, I think that she must have been very close to losing any element of sanity. My sister and I both were so terribly withdrawn. And, you know, the only time we were close, we were on opposite sides of the track. She sided with Mother and I sided with Daddy. And so we couldn't make things jive, you know. Things just wouldn't work. We couldn't sit down and talk. But there was one time we felt close. And this is a horrible memory. But at night, in the middle of the night, we'd hear the hysterical shouting and screaming and the drunken cussing and yelling of our parents. We listened to this together, and we cried together, and we hurt together. But things went on, and then the happiest time of my father's drinking life came along. And this was when he decided to let me go with him on Saturday mornings on his laundry route. It may not sound like much to you, but it was heaven to me. I went around with him, and we laughed and talked, and we had a good time. We were there together. And then when we'd come home at night, the battle axe, you stand there on the porch, say, dude, take a drink. This just killed me. And I looked at her and I'd say, no, you don't think he'd drink around me, do you? Here I was, his little strength, you know, he wouldn't drink around his daughter that he loved so much. This went on for many, many weeks. And I was just so proud. Even youngsters can have false pride, because the day he came, he got so sick he had to have that drink, even in front of me. I'll never forget that day. He pulled off the side of the road, I guess it's a symbol, you know, he didn't want to drink in front of me, you know, so he walked out into the woods a little ways, you know, so I wouldn't see the final treacherous act. But, you know, I guess it was meant for me to see it, because I glanced up in the rearview mirror and there he was, and I saw him take the drink. It was a little thing. I'd seen him drunk and passed out. But to see him take that drink, my whole world just fell apart. I thought, well, it's all over. I can't help him. Mother won't help him. God's gone. That won't work either. And I felt lost. I wasn't but about 10 years old when I felt totally lost. Thank God we found AA. And soon after that was Alateens. And you know, when this meeting started, I saw one of the Alateens that I was an Alateen with in Statesboro come in the door, and it made me feel good. It made me remember those happy times when I was just learning about Alateens. You know, I had many problems. I wasn't lucky enough to understand my mother as you were, Sheila. I resented her more than I did alcohol, and I resented her more than anything in the world. But let me make sure you understand something. We've laughed about that in our family. But I am so ashamed of the way I felt. It's hard to talk through tears. My sister was luckier than I. She found Alateens And she discovered she loved her daddy again. And she learned she had resented alcohol for a long time. And she had never hated her daddy. And this was a wonderful realization for her. And I was proud for her. I knew he was good all this time, you know. I just thought, well, she finally saw the light. But I was having problems. I had my daddy back, but there was still something missing. And I was very resentful. And one night, she came in and she sat me down and she says, I want to tell you something. If I ever get through this, it'll be a miracle. She said, there were mornings she walked to work in the rain because Daddy was drunk and had the car. And she refused to lose that job that brought home money for us to eat and money to clothe us. And then she said the craziest thing I'd ever heard in my life. She said, go look at a pair of mother's shoes. And I did. They didn't even have soles. That's love. I was torn with guilt, like you can't imagine. And then I talked to this wonderful Al-Anon, Louise Foy. She said, honey, it doesn't matter. Start from now and go forward. Make your amends and love your mother and don't worry about the past. And that's what I've done. And I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm the luckiest and happiest person in the world. And you people did it. And Alateens did it. And I'm grateful. AA has done more for us than I could tell you in a million years. I have my family. And when I think about the friends I have, you just don't know how I feel. I can stand up here for 3 more hours and say thank you over and over again, and it wouldn't be enough. But you know what? God is doing it for me. The blessings that He gives us, it's really His way of saying thank you all the way down the line from everybody, you know? God is love. And love is an AA, so God is an AA. And we're awfully lucky people. I want to tell you 2 things I've learned, and then I'll sit down. Just recently, I've been able to get back on the most wonderful feeling with my God as I understand Him. And it's because of people like you. I've learned that if I don't ask for anything, and if I don't refuse anything God gives me until the day I die, I will never want anything. And 2, If I start at this minute and start thanking God for every blessing that He's given me, there will never be 1 second in my life to complain. Because there is so much to be grateful for. I can't thank you, so I'll let God do it and I'll sit down. And we'll all stand together. And we'll hold hands. And we'll pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,